Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
I've got the birth of hard, annoying stuff that you discarded as quickly as you could after the age of 16.
And I have some grumpy people who wouldn't get off a boat and refuse to found the most powerful country in the world.
This sounds promising.
It does, doesn't it?
Game Fight!
Hello and welcome to Date Fight. It's the 11th of November.
I'm Nat Tapley, he's Jake Yap, and we have looked through all of history, leafed through it, pulled out the most promising facts that occurred today, and are going to mash them against each other like teenagers mashing faces at a party.
Except angrier.
Angry, well...
Are we... Because obviously, this is one of those great big dates in the calendar.
Yeah.
Are we both swerving the great big date?
Yes, we both... I've swerved it too.
I think that's probably a good idea. Because the great big date, everyone's going to talk
about. It is a day
that.
Of remembrance, and they should remember that day.
Absolutely.
But they already should be remembered. They shouldn't need us to remind them.
Yeah, you don't want two people banging tin trays over their heads for coins to be trying to do that sort of remembrance.
No.
So what we've got is two alternative moments from history apiece. We will pit them against each other in two rounds and find out who emerges supreme. So why don't we kick off with round one?
Round one!
Who's first for round one?
I'll go first if you like.
Do.
I've got from 1675 in the old money, the German mathematician Gottfried Wilhelm Leibniz.
Ah, yes.
Inventor of the delicious biscuit. Oh. How'd you know that? I thought you were going to go for the biscuit joke. That's all I was going to go for.
Oh, yes, the biscuit.
It's the
biscuit.
The rich tea. He demonstrated integral calculus for the first time to find the area under the graph of y equals...
I don't know.
F brackets x.
Oh, f brackets x, of course.
Basically, he helped everyone have to do hard maths that doesn't involve numbers anymore, which I don't think is appropriate.
No. You know, anything, maths, he ruined maths.
Maths is numbers. You know, when it made the jump to letters, I was out.
That's where it jumped the shark.
Yeah.
Season 5, where they introduced X.
Yeah. Ridiculous.
Yeah.
It wasn't called Season V. Okay, it used to be letters and then it went numbers and then it... All right, whatever. It doesn't matter. Mm. So he did that. And then I'm assuming the biscuit was created in his honour.
In his honour.
Because he demonstrated...
Maybe the biscuit's made up from the area under other biscuits.
Exactly. That the area under the chocolate, Y, equals F brackets biscuit. I don't know.
I think it's exactly what happened.
But I mean, it's a masterful biscuit. It's got to be, I mean, maybe the top
Newton
biscuit.
Newton doesn't have any biscuits named after him, does he? And he claimed he invented calculus. And he got no biscuit.
I don't know why I was going to say fig rolls.
Fig Newtons.
Fig Newtons, yeah, that's a thing, isn't it? It is a thing.
What we should have done is eat Leibniz and Fig Newtons. Choco Leibniz and Fig Newton.
Yeah.
I mean, the clue's in the title, Choco Leibniz or Fig Newton.
Right.
Really.
Which, chocolate
or
figs. That's a fun new game. So, I think just on biscuits alone, Leibniz has to win.
He's the winner.
Has to win.
Yeah.
Are you good at maths? Are you
a
maths-brained person?
No, I'm a terrible at maths person.
Yeah, I'm not.
Not, I know if I've got the right change in the shop, but that's about it.
Oh. Get you. Checking the veracity of... I had one amazing, inspiring maths teacher who set up... This is like in an inner London state school. Very, very rough. Mm. And I know for a fact that like something like 25% of the people in my class from that school ended up in prison. Like, it was rough. This guy set up a maths club, like... after school, and people
had he just
came.
Dead Poets Society.
He was that.
Yeah.
He was amazing. And he lent me his scientific calculator one summer to use and learn about. And that was a brand new thing. Mm. There were no computers in those days. So it was that whoop-de-doo thing that you could draw graphs on and stuff.
Right.
And I was playing around with it, not knowing what I was doing, because we were into letters, not numbers.
Letters
and that's
good.
Just
numbers
silly. Yeah, don't do that. And anyway, I played with it, you know, a few times over the summer. And I gave it back to him in the autumn and said, oh, thanks very much, sir. And he came back to me sort of after the break and said, you wiped everything I programmed into that calculator. It took me days.
I'm glad that's where you wiped was going.
Yeah, it was solar powered and it never picked up signal again. But so that's my fun math story for you.
That's Leibniz.
That's Leibniz.
I will go to, let's do 1215, the 11th of November, 1215.
Ah, yes.
The Fourth Council of the Lateran, of course.
Of course it is. That hoary old chestnut.
Yeah. So everyone got together in the entire church to get together and decide whether or not transubstantiation should would happen, whether that was a thing.
Whether it was a thing.
Whether that existed or not. But also...
Now, to the uninitiated, this is the water and wine. No, this is the wine and the wafer.
The wine and the wafer, when you eat them, actually turn into bits of actual Jesus?
Inside of you.
Is that a metaphor? That was the argument. They got together to have an argument about whether or not that was a metaphor, or whether when you ate it at some point...
You're pooing Jesus.
You're pooing out Jesus.
Should one poo Jesus?
I don't think so. It doesn't seem very respectful, does it?
I would never poo Jesus.
I never have pooed Jesus.
If you had to poo someone, who would you poo?
Ronald Reagan.
No hesitation. Amazing.
That's right, yeah.
I'd have to think.
How about you?
Annika Rice. Because she's really nice. Like, she'd be really nice about it. And you'd be like, sorry. And she'd be like, it's fine.
When she emerges this little light, like you've given birth to a tiny, pooey Annika Rice. I was just imagining a chewed up
bit
they've been through your digestive system.
Yeah. But still.
You think she's still functioning?
Well,
having been through.
It's only a bit.
True.
So if the rest of her was intact, if you'd taken like a mouth swab.
Oh, okay. So you're not.
Of Annika Rice.
The whole thing.
No. Okay. Should I? Annika Rice, I'm so sorry.
Away
from wide.
Right, yeah.
Wait, and you just. Yeah, maybe you wipe like a cracker around the inside of her mouth and then you eat that.
Yeah.
She'd be really nice about it.
It feels a bit CSI, more than church. I mean, if that were involved...
The Church
going to
of
church
Southern
involved.
Idaho. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. In any case...
Anyway, my claim for it being important is not only did they discuss transubstantiation, which is...
What did they conclude?
They said, yes, it does happen. It definitely turns back into real Jesus some point inside your tummy.
Amazing. So, like,
where it happens, somewhere between the back of your tongue and the top of your tummy...
Seriously?
Jesus comes in...
That
isn't where I wanted to be at all.
So, like, the wafer and the wine are basically a Jesus pot noodle. Like, you rehydrate Jesus. Yeah. That's amazing.
It's like an airplane Jesus meal.
Yeah. That's or like when you buy the freeze-dried ice cream at, you know, the Space Centre. I've never done that.
I don't know. I see that's what you do. But the other thing they decided was that all non-Christians should have to wear distinctive clothing. And that's where that idea entered Western culture, that you should discriminate religiously... and make people of different religions wear different clothing. So you can tell exactly who the people who aren't Christians are.
Wow.
So 1215, that's where that came from.
That's interesting. And that was just like across the board, like
it was Muslims
people.
And Jews. They said Muslims and Jews should have to wear something to say. Because they're wandering around.
Maybe just like an armband, something like that. Something like that.
Maybe this whole get-up.
Wow.
But yes, usually just some sort of sewn-on patch or armband would do.
Is that... Wow. That's quite the eye-opener.
Yeah, and that's an idea that's still with us today. So I thought that was the most important thing coming out of that.
Well, that's 1 point to you.
Thank you.
8.5 plays 3.5. This is a cumulative scoring system we have from the inception of this podcast back on the 5th of November. Mm-hmm. And before we have round two, let's do the birthdays and death days.
Birthdays. Happy birthday to Fyodor Dostoevsky.
Oh.
He's the happiest Russian writer of all. He's not happy at all.
No. But he's the one that everyone pretends they've read and haven't.
Yes.
Have you read him?
I've read the Murdering the Old
Woman
one.
There you are, pretending away.
Yeah, pretending away. also, happy birthday to Martha Annie Whiteley, a British chemist who tested mustard gas on herself during the First World War.
No way.
Yeah. She was investigating the effects of mustard gas and went, you know, the best way to find this out is to test it on mice. Ah, that's a terrible idea!
Wow.
Yeah.
Did she, I mean, did she survive?
Yeah, she survived. She went on to
do
chemistry.
Vinegar gas, yeah. Salt gas, and pepper
all
gas.
The condiment gases.
Yeah, yeah. Wow. That's amazing.
Yeah, and also happy birthday to June Whitfield.
Oh, yeah. Love June Whitfield. You can't not.
No, everyone's June Whitfield. Everybody has to love June Whitfield.
I'd kind of love it if someone came forward and said, "That June Whitfield!
Oh.
I saw her kick a puppy."
Yeah.
And she loved June it. Whitfield. Yeah. I don't think it's going to happen.
Never going to happen. Happy Death Day, sad Death Day, to Nat Turner, the enslaved preacher who led a two-day slave revolt in America in 1831 and was then put to death.
Oh, wow.
Also, happy birthday, Death Day, to Yasser Arafat.
Oh, crikey.
Yeah, getting serious
ones today. This is a hardcore death.
And happy Death Day to Teutberger, the wife of Lothar II, who was a grandson of Charlemagne and was king of Lotharingia, but Lothar accused her of incest with her brother and forced her to plunge her hand into a vat of boiling water to prove that she hadn't been having sex with her brother. She successfully did that.
What?
And Lothar was told off by the Pope for making her do that. Other interesting facts about Lothar is that he had uncles called Charles the Fat and Louis the German.
They sound like absolute legends. Did they ever go to Benidorm? This is Charles the Fat. This one.
Louis the German.
Louis the German.
Go on, say it. How do you say it?
Guten Tag. Wow. That's all extraordinary.
Actually, no, I got it wrong. It's not Charles the Fat, it's Charles the Bald. Charles the Fat. Yeah.
Hey! You never guess what
Charles
we call him.
Charles the Fat.
Baldy Charles. Charles the Bald. I'm going to say right now, I do not appreciate jokes about bald people.
No.
I think there's a basic rule of thumb with comedy.
Mm-hmm.
You can make a joke about anything anyone has any agency over.
Right.
Right? So if you choose to sport a moustache, I'm going to rip you for that because you look stupid. And I'll say right now, this whole beards trend has got to go. Whereas, you know, a physical disability or, you know, your hair falling out or something, it's not something you have any governance over. You can't blame someone for that. You can't mock them for that. It's very straightforward. Religion's the only sort of grey area with that. Because you kind of go, well, did you choose to be religious or did you not? I don't know.
Surely you can mock the belief without necessarily mocking the believer in the case of religion.
Knock yourself out. Bagsy Christians. Yes.
Bagsy transubstantiation.
Good. Let's have round two before
round
we get into
two.
Any more trouble.
Mm-hmm. Round two.
Right, what you got?
Well, round two, I have the Mayflower Compact, November 11th, 1620, which is when the bunch of people who were on the Mayflower, who were of two groups generally, there were the religious people who definitely wanted to get away from King James and go and set up a new country where they could be practice religion as they wanted, and the other people who just wanted to go to America and kill beavers and make money and send furs back.
Cool.
They all had a piece of paper saying, you're allowed to go to Northern Virginia and set up a colony, and make some money and send it back to us and live there then. So they sailed across the Atlantic and didn't get to North Virginia. They ended up in Cape Cod instead. Cod, of course, was called Cape Cod because of the huge teeming shoals of cod that were off it.
I did not see that coming.
Yeah. Apart from John Smith called it Cape James because of the teeming shoals of King James's. So they found themselves in Cape Cod, at which point the religious people said, we should probably just stay here, because actually going down to Virginia, which is a colony which the king already owns and is named after, you know, a Tudor monarch, and to go to Jamestown, which is named actually after King James, maybe we should just stay here.
Yeah,
if you want to stay out of the
call it Nigel Town.
Yeah.
It's just top of my head. Yeah. Nigel, why'd you call it? We'll just call it Nigel Town. Just saying. It's got a nice ring.
So they said we should stay here in Cape Cod and eat all these cod.
Right.
And the people who wanted to go to Virginia said, no, that's a silly idea. That all the tobacco's down there, and tobacco's what people love.
Yeah. They're absolutely potty about it.
Yeah. And so we're not getting off the boat unless you take us where we want to go.
Oh.
And so the Mayflower was sort of stuck there, and no one could get off the boat for a couple of days until they worked out what was going to happen. So they wrote a little mini constitution called the Mayflower Compact, which they all signed saying, okay, when we get off, we're all going to have a governor who we've all agreed, and we will do what they say as long as we agree that what they say is to properly make houses and help us live and isn't silly. And it's one of the first examples of a proper written constitution we've got of people saying, this is what we agree to. This is the agreement we've all come to. There's no government. There's no state here. There's no one can tell us what to do. So what's our agreement?
It's like a boaty Brexit.
Yeah, boaty Brexit.
Resolved in 3 days instead of 3.5 years. I was trying to work it and I couldn't get it. Wow.
There you go. That's my choice.
So you just call it 9.5. I've got... 1925, the first recording session of Louis Armstrong and his Hot Five. And what an amazing confluence. And I always try to figure out with jazz, did the fact that recording had arrived mean that things like improvisation spread because suddenly you could capture a recording and propagate it of something that happened in that moment? Or was it just a lucky confluence that this amazing, innovative, spontaneous form of music happened at the same time as recording arrived?
Sorry. You have an opinion that should be obscured by coughing. It is so bad. Sheet music people had a big problem with recorded music, didn't they? When recorded music turned up...
It's killing. Home recording is
killing sheet music. Yeah. And the sheet music people were very cross about that.
Right.
So I assume that performance... I don't know. That has no relevance to what you were asking.
Doesn't matter.
It's just a fact.
That's a good fact. I didn't know that. That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
That a lot of sheet went down.
A lot of sheet music.
Presumably.
A lot of music was on sheet.
Yeah. It was all sheet.
Yeah. Until that point.
Until the jazz. Do you like the jazz?
I love the jazz.
Do you? Do you like the great glopping ribbons of jazz?
I do.
What jazz do you like? Because when people say jazz, it's a very...
Up until 1956, I like jazz.
Correct!
Yeah. I don't like jazz.
Thank you.
That.
Oh, come to my arms.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't take the...
I think after Sketches for Spain or something like that.
The blowing and the waggling and the... Well, I'm pretty sure that it's definitely 9.5 for you, because that was a great one. I had no idea. Mm. That was really great.
Just be grumpy and you can end up founding a whole new system of government.
I think that's where we are right now, isn't it?
Okay. Let's hope so.
Across the board.
That's my very quiet call to arms.
well done.
Thank you.
You swept the board 9.5 to 3.5.
Wow.
But it's not over because history isn't, and neither is the calendar. We will be back tomorrow with another date fight. In the meantime, if you could subscribe, share, rate, and review, because
we'd be very grateful.
Quite pathetic, really, the sort of exhortations. And, you know, here's what I will say is we're not doing it like, the YouTubers say, go ahead and smash that like button. Like, no one's telling you to smash anything. You can just lightly depress. You really don't have to...
Use an appropriate amount of force downwards.
Always the appropriate amount of force. Always.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
2 luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, 2 luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's 2 luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.